Welcome to the Strategy Session Podcast, where ASI's editors provide tips and tactics to help promotional product professionals improve their businesses. In every episode, we go one-on-one with a business strategy expert to gather winning insights. The conversations are sure to be insightful and entertaining.
Today, we welcome Chris Gomez of Afterburner to the podcast. Afterburner was founded by a U.S. Air Force fighter pilot in 1996 and trains organizations around the world in simple, scalable management solutions. Afterburner brings the elite military precision of fighter pilots to the corporate world with a client list that includes more than 30% of the U.S. Fortune 500. Chris is a decorated former Navy SEAL with an MBA from the University of Texas. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So just to start off, can you tell me a little bit more about Afterburner and share some of your own personal background?
Sure, absolutely. So Afterburner, as you said, has been around for now 20 years, and we've been traveling around the United States, around the globe, actually, teaching great business organizations these tools and techniques of flawless execution, which flawless execution is derived from our elite military backgrounds as fighter pilots, SEALs, Army Rangers, other special operators throughout our country. And actually, we've actually even employed fighter pilots from Australia, Brazil, Canada, and, you know, we're looking for some other folks elsewhere too. So it's been great. It's been an awesome company, again, for 20 years. So I've been a part of Afterburner for the last 2.5 years. I did 21 years in the Navy. I spent the first 12 years as a SEAL. Mm-hmm. And then not only was I a SEAL, I had the distinct honor of being chosen to be a SEAL instructor. That meant that I was the guy that was responsible for training a bunch of the future SEALs that go out and have done all the great work that we've heard of here in recent years that again, allowed us to do all the stuff overseas. It's been great. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a natural fit for you to move to Afterburner.
Yeah. No, it really was. It was a perfect fit because after I did 12 years, I then became a naval officer. And it was there that I had the opportunity to learn about contract management, business financial management. And during my last tour in the Navy, as you previously mentioned, I did earn my MBA from the University of Texas. And that was absolutely life-changing. And it's the primary reason that I'm working with Afterburner today.
Okay. So what can civilian business leaders learn from the way fighter pilots and SEALs and other elite military figures operate?
There's a lot that business leaders can learn from our complex backgrounds, but I think the most important thing that business leaders can take away is how do they reduce complexity to simplicity? Mm-hmm. And let me expound on that a little bit more because it's so important. We all work in a very complex an ever-changing environment, and you cannot continue to battle that complexity just by adding more complexity on top. You have to be able to distill it down to its simplest form and battle that really intense complexity with a very simple and scalable process.
Mm-hmm. And so could you actually share a story from your own military service that might be of interest to our listeners?
Oh, absolutely. I've got a few really good stories, but one that I'm really willing to share,
of course.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Very important to, because you've heard that term about sailors. You might have a bad reputation sometimes. But there's a really great story of how when I was an instructor, so I was a first phase BUDS instructor, which is basically SEAL training, basic underwater demolition SEAL training. And it's renowned for being probably the toughest military training in the entire world. And I was one of the first phase instructors. And during this particular evolution or this particular drill that we were doing, it's called underwater knot tying, which is very benign in nature as far as SEAL training is concerned. Mm-hmm. The student has to hold their breath, dive down to a rope about 15 feet deep, tie a knot on it, get it checked out by the instructor and then surface, and do that process again about 5 times. So during this day, we had just started. It's a beautiful Southern California day. Sun's out. I'm sitting there in my little shorts and flip-flops because I was the instructor that was on deck ensuring that everybody was safe. Mm-hmm. So I was a corpsman by nature, mm-hmm. or by my trade, And I then had to ensure that everybody was operating safely. And if there was an issue, that was my job to handle it. So I'm sitting there getting a nice tan. We had been going for about 5 or 10 minutes. And out of the blue, I just stuffed my mouth full of sunflower seeds. And I'm sitting back relaxing. And all of a sudden, my buddy, I can hear him yell from across the pool. He says, "Gomez." And I kind of look up like, "What?" And I see him launching this kid, this student, out of the water onto the pool deck. And so I kind of shuffle over there, you know, not thinking much about it. And my buddy jumps out of the water and starts trying to tend to this guy. Mm-hmm. And so I look down this individual, and I'm like, "Oh, crap." Because at this point, I knew this kid looked, and this may sound funny, he looks like every other dead guy that I've seen in my life.
Oh, wow.
He was ashen gray. His lips were blue. Eyes rolled back in his head. And I spit all my sunflower seeds all over the deck there because my mouth was so full.
Right.
And I grabbed the quick look, listen, feel, quick assessment. Started, and I lip locked that guy, gave him his 2 breaths, started CPR. And as I started this process, I look up and I see everything has fallen into place. All of the instructors knew exactly what their role was. They knew we had one guy over there on the phone calling 911. Another couple instructors gathering the students for a quick muster to make sure that we had everybody else. Mm-hmm. We had 2 instructors standing right by me ready to start helping with CPR. Another instructor went and got my med bag. Everybody knew exactly what to do because we are a collaborative team. We understand, even though we never had a scenario like this with this particular team on this pool deck, everybody just fell into place. And it's based on a very simple process. Mm-hmm. Every single day, before we do any evolution, we brief so that everybody knows exactly what their requirements are. Everybody knows exactly what they need to do. And the good point of the story is we were able to save this gentleman's life because of that very simple process and making sure that everybody was doing their part. And it was so awesome to be such a great part of a collaborative team.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like a life or death situation, but obviously it's applicable to, you know, the corporate world where it's not necessarily life and death, but, you know, people have to make decisions that can cost a lot of money or make a lot of money, depending on what they
certainly
do.
And people say that a lot, but I would say that it's their business life or death.
Mm.
Because if they're not able to make those decisions very quickly and be able to communicate to their teams effectively, then it certainly would be your business life.
Right, right. So what are some of the biggest challenges that are facing business owners right now?
The absolute number one business challenge that I've heard, and I've been doing this, I've gotten to engage with probably 300 different companies and different engagements. The number one priority or the number one issue facing businesses is prioritization or the lack thereof. Mm-hmm. We have a term that we use. It's called task saturation, which is the perception or reality of having too much to do without enough time, tools, or resources to get the job done. And employee survey after employee survey finds that organizations are just not prioritized. They're out there doing things right, mm-hmm. but they don't know that they're necessarily doing the right things. And so many times bosses come down with these great intentions and they say, "Hey, make sure you get this done. Make sure you get this done. I've got these 25 things that are number one priority." So whenever you have 25 things that are number one, absolutely nothing is number one, and there's no prioritization. So that is a huge issue, and just really pushing down individual task saturation is the big thing, the biggest problem.
So, I mean, what then would you say is the secret to winning in today's business environment?
You know, the secret that I found to winning in business these days is to get to these fast failures. You have to fail. I like to say you have to fail up or you fail fast, because if you continue to cycle through, you're going to get to those victories much faster as you iterate and as you learn. I even say you either succeed or you learn, because failure is never fatal in this case. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to learn from your mistakes. And so in my mind, being able to plan, brief, execute, go back and debrief, find those best practices, find the errors that you made, then put those debrief points and those lessons learned right back into your planning process and iterate. That's the way that you scale organizations, and that's the way, in my mind, that you win.
Okay. And then just one last question for you. So what are some of the traits that are shared by most successful leaders?
So in all my travels here in recent years, the best traits that I've seen that the best business leaders really, really exhibit are they typically have this very clear and concise communication of their long-term goal or their organization's, we call it a high-definition destination. Mm-hmm. It's their long-term strategy, where they're going to be in 2 to 3 years. Because so often, people, as I'm sitting here at my desk and I'm typing up emails or reading through different things, I have to be reminded, and your employees have to constantly be reminded as to the why. Mm-hmm. It really goes back to the prioritization. You want to be able to clearly communicate the why so that you align everybody's expectations. So that once you as a business leader say, this is the direction we're going, this is our North Star, you can help your team members and your constituencies really work toward getting there. And that is the number one trait I've seen is great leaders are able to communicate the why everybody's there and really point everybody in the direction of that organization.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, that's all the time we have today, Chris. It was really nice talking to you. Thanks so much.
This has been the latest episode of ASI's Strategy Session Podcast. To listen to all of our podcasts, go to asicentral.com/podcast.